Hello and welcome to the Socially Awkward Podcast, a hospitality marketing podcast. I'm your host, Calvin Taloki, and I am here today with Blake Rushman of EcoDrive.
Hey, Calvin, how you doing?
Good. Adam, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Good. Great to have you on the show. Looking forward to our conversation today. So tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you mentioned, my name is Blake. I'm one of the co-founders here at EcoDrive. A little bit of my background come from the digital marketing space. So EcoDrive was actually born out of a digital marketing agency, but been in that world for a long time, working with companies of all types. Was initially weighted in the e-commerce sector, and then that quickly grew to every type of company you can imagine, including hospitality, largely focusing on those digital assets, but also have some background, a little side hustle way back in the day, even in some out-of-home advertising. So always been this sort of strategic digital marketing space, but got a degree in finance. So I've always sort of blended those two, where when looking at marketing, how does that tie in with measuring ROI, those KPIs, and making sure that, you know, pair of that performance marketing, which is super important, as opposed to just throwing dollars out into the ether and hoping that there's a return.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're hitting it on the head for sure. You know, that's a big part of my agency, how we do things. It's, you've got to have ROI. There's got to be a return on what you're doing. So before we get into EcoDrive, what you're doing now, because I mean, that's a big topic for me always to talk about. What sort of KPIs do you look at, you know, in the digital space, having that finance background? What sort of things are you looking at to make sure you're delivering an ROI for clients?
Yeah, you know, every industry is a little different. I think one of the biggest ones is this, it's ever changing as the digital landscape changes. But I think the two approaches I always take looking at things are, you know, that direct attribution and more of a blended, where looking at multi-channel. I think a lot of times you have to look full funnel when analyzing those things. So specific to KPIs, there's things like your CPMs and stuff like that. Click-throughs, and those are the kind of the more fluff metrics, but really boiling down to, you know, what are your dollars in, dollars out wise, tied to a specific metric. So I think it's important to set those outcomes at the beginning, where in the hospitality industry, if it's, you know, specific around increasing bookings or things like reviews, those sort of less like dollar driven, but those tangible things that you want to boost of, you know, what efforts are going into that and speaking to those specific actions you're wanting customers to take and what's working the best. So I think the other thing to iterate on in the KPIs is a lot of iteration and testing in terms of what might support, never being too tied to one message or creative or strategy and let data do the talking. Can't tell you how many times I've tested a strategy one versus the other, where maybe it's a, if we're talking like ad creative, the ugly creative dramatically outperforms every KPI of driving more bookings, more revenue than what looks really pretty and polished.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm sure you see a ton of that too, right? It's especially in this world, like if you're a content creator, sometimes those videos taken on a phone, a selfie video, are organic and what people want or resonate with. So in terms of KPIs, it's really it's letting the data talk and not getting emotionally tied to anything specific.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna clip that and send it to some of my clients.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier. It does require some, you have to stick to your guns, because it's not always comfortable. I think a lot of times too with brands of all types is they want to have this really curated image of their brand, and yet when you talk about like a platform like TikTok, the best stuff is sort of looking under the hood, the more raw, unfiltered. So experimentation couldn't be a bigger fan of.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, this is so timely for me. I've been having this conversation a lot. You know, we have obviously quite a few boutique and lifestyle luxury hotels. And we stumbled on an influencer that stayed with us in June. And she did a, you know, very raw organic TikTok style video of, you know, a night at the hotel room, you know, with girlfriends, and it went berserk. You know, every metric that you want to look at is up: reach, followers, clicks to the website, click through rate, everything skyrocketed. And there's this conversation of like, yeah, we liked it, we liked the results, but it didn't quite look the way we wanted to look. And it's like, you know, it's this conversation about, it's not your page. It's not my page. This page belongs to the audience. Mm-hmm. And the audience is going to tell you what they want to see. And clearly they're telling us, we love this. We want to see more of this. But they don't want it. They want to go away from it or not do too much of that because it doesn't fit that polished look that they envision, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially now with content creators, and there's platforms like Fora, the one that's like anyone can kind of go sign up to be like a travel agent, essentially.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I can't tell you how many of where I'll follow maybe lots of travel blogs and influencers, and that really polished, beautiful stuff always looks great. But it's like, okay, that person was clearly sort of put up by the hotel. Whereas if I have friends or those more micro influencers that I trust all their recommendations, when they go to that unique spot and post about it, I'm like, where is that? And that's what draws me in way more than, oh, this is just beautiful content that you are flooded with high production value versus relatable.
Exactly. Relatable. I think that's the word, authentic, you know, and that's something I've built my agency on is that exact message and that exact premise, because people can go to your website and see the Photoshop, you know, shots. That's what your website's for. You're supposed to put your best foot forward there. But social media has always been an authentic space, or that's what it was always intended to be, right? I mean, this thing started out with just friends connecting with each other. You know, hey, what'd you do this weekend? What food did you eat? How are your kids? You know, and people will gravitate to that type of content, which is why TripAdvisor is such a huge grab on the hotel industry, because they want to see what that room really looks like when they check in. So they're going to go see traveler photos. And now, ever since the TripAdvisor is getting into the booking engine game, they're not coming back to your direct site to book. They're going to book it right there because that's where they've seen what they want to see.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for us is, yeah, giving your audience, giving your guest as a hotel, using your platforms to give them that same experience so they stay with you as opposed to going somewhere else, and now you have to pay commission. But yeah, I think I might hire you as a spokesperson because they're probably tired of hearing it from me, you know, so maybe a third voice might help.
Yeah, and I love what you said, the authenticity, where going back to even just those little like creator videos, whenever there's one, like if it's a resort or an all-inclusive that has five restaurants on property, I always love the ones where I'm seeing like, I loved three out of the five restaurants, but not everyone was amazing and perfect. We're like, right. These were my favorites. The other ones were just all right. That actually makes me want to go there more because I have it's like, oh, there's three great restaurants plus the experience and the aesthetic and the rooms. Everything else looked great. Authenticity, I think you nailed it on the head there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's always the best. It's always the best policy. But yeah, you know, before we turn this into a completely different podcast, a completely different show, yeah, tell us a bit about EcoDrive and how that was born out of your previous life as a digital marketing person.
Yeah, so EcoDrive is an impact platform that enables businesses of all types to make an impact with their guests. Impact meaning we have a marketplace of projects spanning across verified tree planting, ocean plastic cleanups, food security in the U.S., and clean drinking water around the world, where we make it really easy for a business to integrate some type of give back, or what we call that business for good model, into their existing operations and guest experience or customer experience in a really turnkey way. And everything we do is verified, so we actually provide the proof that it happens, which goes back to sort of my background where, when running that agency, we saw this desire from a lot of different businesses around the topic of sustainability, which was a big, you know, topic buzzword, still is huge in the hospitality industry, but typically very confusing or complex. It's hard to implement and it's typically really expensive if you're talking about measuring your total carbon footprint or, you know, buying carbon offsets. And so we saw often with that too, it very much is an umbrella where it's like you get that kind of badge of approval, but what does that mean to your end customer? We tie everything to a tangible one-to-one customer action is how we refer to it, like booking a hotel, buying something online, to where when we were running that agency, we sort of incubated this idea. We were doing tree planting. So we integrated, you know, every night stay, every online order, every event attended, one tree gets planted for that customer. Very simple, very tangible, very easy to message. And we saw this incredible lift because we were naturally running the marketing. We integrated in a way that was testable. And so we saw that those campaigns, those actions, putting an impact call out at the point of purchase actually drove conversion rates up. We saw an increase in lifetime value and repeat purchase rate because we had actually helped these brands follow up with their customers and say, hey, remember that thing we said we did for you, cleaning the ocean, planting trees, providing a meal to someone? We actually did it. And here's the evidence. So super tangible, provable, verifiable evidence backing their sustainability or their impact claims. The example we always use is when you're at the grocery store, if you've ever been asked to donate or round up a dollar at checkout, you might recognize that that cause, but typically, have you ever seen where your dollar went from that experience? No. Because we do everything digitally native, we can actually provide that evidence. So when that claim is being made on behalf of customers, the business can back it up and show them that, hey, your tree was planted. Here's the timestamps, the geolocation, and the content of the before and after of the tree planting, the ocean cleanup, the person that got water, the people you helped.
That's awesome. And how are the locations chosen? Is that something chosen by your side or the hotel?
Yeah. So both. So we have this marketplace of lots of different locations and projects all around the world. We as EcoDrive do the diligence of finding those projects. So we are not a marketplace of thousands of different things you can choose from, because quite frankly, there's not people verifying and doing that evidence-backed impact around the world. So we actually do the diligence. It takes us a long time to vet those partners. We have a few select that we've really doubled down on, where we can actually provide that evidence. And so we do the due diligence so that our partners can trust that the work's actually happening. But a hotel, for example, if they wanted to choose tree planting, we have North America, including US, Canada, South America, Europe, Australia, Africa. We have it all over the world. Ocean cleanups are global. Food security is in the US. Clean drinking water is in Mexico and Kenya, places that more like need those specific projects. So then a company can come in and pick the impact type project. Like if they align, if they're a coastal resort location, they might have more of an affinity towards ocean cleanup versus tree planting. They can pick that project that aligns with their messaging, their goals, and implement that in a real simple way.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a very interesting way to go about, you know, for a hotel, go about being sustainable and green initiatives. Obviously, you know, my background is in revenue management, working in hotels, and a big part of the RFPs, for those listening, that's a request for proposal. So that's when a company may want to partner with your hotel to say, hey, we're going to be sending our workers to your city. We'd like to get a rate, 100 room nights a year, et cetera, et cetera. And when you're applying for some of these ones with bigger companies like the IBMs, Amex, you know, some of these huge companies, a big part of that process is your sustainability initiatives, your green initiatives. What are you doing? And I've seen hotels where we lost RFPs, we lost out to other hotels. They didn't have us part of the program because we didn't have these, you know, green initiatives going on. Or we weren't doing enough outside of the normal, hey, you know, leave your towel on the rag if you don't want us to clean it, that sort of thing. So this is really interesting. It's a really cool way and interesting way for hotels to get involved in something like that. So I think I kind of just touched on it. Hopefully I didn't steal too much of your answer, but tell us how that could be a better business driver for hotels partnering with a company like yours.
Yeah. So two ways, I guess, you've broken down. So there's that what I would call B2B, which is, you know, those corporate relationships, where it's something that stands out, where when you're applying for those RFPs, hotels do it right. It's eliminating water usage, energy usage, all those different things that there's not just one sustainability pillar. There's a lot that a hotel can do. Mm-hmm. This is one that stands out. Typically what we see at the kind of top of that list, to where it's like, you know, every night stay is going to plant a tree or pull a pound of plastic. It's something that stands out because the person analyzing that RFP understands it and sees it. It's a win for them, you know, by staying at that hotel, not just the hotel that gets, you know, some the credit for making that impact. It's also that partner. So they can say, hey, by selecting this hotel, we've helped plant 10,000, 100,000 trees this year. So that's super powerful. So that's on that B2B side. On the actual guest and customer experience side, we see it be specific to a revenue driver a few different ways. There's revenue driver and there's cost savings. So the most common application is per night booked, including in that nightly rate, the impact, where hotels can do it on a revenue side. They can actually increase the cost of the nightly booking. If, you know, planting a tree can cost as little as 45 cents per tree. If you're doing something like Kenya Mangrove Project, they could add in a few dollars per nightly booking and use that as part of their marketing, part of the attraction to get more people to stay with them that have that affinity for choosing sustainable focused hotels. And it can actually be a revenue driver there in a really powerful way. So that's one. And then on the cost saving side, incentive, like you mentioned, hanging the towel, where a lot of hotels use this to incentivize housekeeping opt-outs, where they're saying, hey, for opting out of housekeeping, we're going to do X, Y, and Z impact for you. And we see a huge spike in those opt-outs as well, which helps us with labor and cost savings.
Yeah. And how do you feel a program like this would help drive guest loyalty?
So one, just on that upfront where it's like, okay, they know that this hotel is committed to sustainability and making a positive impact on the world. Mm-hmm. But because we verify everything, that longer tail end of post-stay, the updates that a hotel can do saying that, we call it the impact updates, something along the lines of email or SMS pushes, literally saying, hey, your tree's getting ready to be planted. Your pound of plastic's getting ready to be pulled from the ocean. Super obnoxious subject line for an email, but I'm telling you, crazy open rates. And what that does, it re-engages that customer down the road. Setting those triggers, you know, it can be 30 days, it can be 90 days, it can be a year down the road, saying, hey, thank you for staying with us. You made an impact. And it brings them back into that funnel, reminds them you're there, book another night. You can incentivize them with, hey, instead of maybe book another night, it's plant another tree, pull another pound, feed another person. And so in terms of the loyalty, it's huge on that side. We've had others that have even baked it into their loyalty to where they have those, you know, guests that are recurring, they stay at their hotel often for work, travel, or personal. Mm-hmm. And they sort of build their own little forest or their own little cleanup where, you know, by staying with them 10 times this year, they've planted 10 trees and they have their own little kind of dedicated forest. And they even build that into their back end portal for that guest so that they can see those things, or even use points and credits and things like that to contribute towards impact versus maybe nightly rates.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, because I'm envisioning, you know, maybe like a chain of hotels that has locations in different areas. If you're doing one of these initiatives and where, you know, say I'm staying in New York, but that, you know, that chain also has something in Kenya or mm-hmm. Costa Rica or something. And, you know, hey, well, next time maybe I can go and actually see the trees. I could see the ocean that I'm helping clean up. And I think that'd be a good way to build loyalty to the brand.
And they literally can't. Part of that evidence is they're seeing the location, like latitude, longitude, exact locations of where those trees are planted, where the ocean was clean. So they, in theory, could, like the ocean cleanups we have a lot in Bali, huge travel destination.
Okay. Yeah.
Florida, too. They can go look at beaches that had been cleaned and actually go visit those, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is really cool. So as far for like from a marketing standpoint, and guest engagement, how do hotels typically market these initiatives, and what strategies have you seen best work?
Yeah. So I'd say, yeah, definitely the point of purchase. So there's a few along that customer journey. There's the booking, there's the actual stay, and then post. So on that upfront and booking, I think clear call outs around the point of decision making for a booking, those impact call outs, some type of banner or text call out with icon or emoji saying, you know, by booking the stay, you're doing X, Y, and Z impact is huge. On average, when adding an impact call out, we see a lift in conversion of blended across a lot of businesses and a lot of different data points, around 17% lift in conversion rate when adding an impact call out versus a non-incentivized. So that's one real simple way that hotels can do it. And then the fun stuff is, I think, a lot more of that guest communication leading up to booking while they're staying at the hotel. So pre-check-in messaging, talking about pack they're making via email, via SMS, via an app, if they're using that with a push notification, a lot of cool stuff they can do there. And then on site, we've got hotels that have done really cool stuff where the Windsor Suites is in Philadelphia. They have a live counter at their actual front desk check-in that live counts the trees. And it's this big, bold, cool live counter that as more trees are planted, it takes up of that actual counter, as well as a lot of in room call outs. So for some that do the housekeeping opt outs on their do not disturb signs, they say, you know, forget which property it was, but they had one. It's like, catch more Z's, plant more trees. And they plant 10 trees. It was that actual call out. on there, plus QR codes. So that's another really interesting one. We provide a lot of tools in terms of like that tree tracking, the ability for the customer to actually track their specific tree that was planted, pound of plastic that was pulled. They could scan a QR code and register that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of cool signage and engagement and experiential things at the actual location that very, very easy to implement and have a really powerful cut because those it draws the eye. And a lot of times what we're with the teams to actually train those people to make sure they're educated on the project that was chosen. Actually, that Windsor Suites, they originally did Kenya and then they switched to Haiti because they had a lot of people from Haiti that work at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So they want to support that project. Everyone at the on-site is educated. So when a guest asks, they can actually talk to them about, yes, it's a women's beekeeping collective in Haiti supporting a pollinator agroforestry project. And they can tell this whole sort of story there. So that's sort of that intangible marketing, more anecdotal, but really cool there. And then post-stay, updating them on their impact, oftentimes using digital marketing tools like your email and SMS saying, hey, the impact you made is actually happening. Here's the proof. We have some that also use it to incentivize reviews. So, hey, thank you for your stay. We plan to pay on your behalf. Leave us a review and we'll plant another, pull another pound, right? That type of thing.
Yeah, no, that and that last one I think is awesome for, you know, the operations managers out there because these reviews are becoming more and more important. That's a very organic and authentic way to ask for reviews without it feeling salesy.
Absolutely. And there's also cool things like there's Earth Day and Earth Month in April. Mm. There's Plastic Free July, which would just happen. There's lots of environmental holidays. National Take a Hike, like get outside and hike day. Tons of those that they can play on and say, hey, we're doing this cool initiative that ties in with these ocean-based, forest-based, humanitarian-based projects that they can then leverage and talk about. And they're accumulating this impact all year. And then they might have this really incredible number of impact they can share. We've planted 100,000 trees in the last year. Help us reach our goal of 250,000 by the next year. Things like that. So it opens, right. There's a lot of doors that open from the marketing side to where you can implement sort of everything or one or two key strategies.
It's really interesting. Could you give us any specific case studies or campaigns that worked really well and the kind of impact it had for the hotel?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to stay on theme for like Windsor Suites, but in general for the housekeeping opt-outs, at the bare minimum, what we see there is typically that number can sit, depending on how hotels are sort of doing opt-in or opt-outs, mm-hmm. typically that can live around 10-15%. On the lowest end, we see a 100% increase or a doubling in the housekeeping opt-out rate. Wow. So super powerful. Again, it's that incentive. And we've done some really interesting case studies testing the opt-out incentive being things like credit at the bar downstairs or points for the hotel. 10 times out of 10, the impact and actual tangible sustainability or humanitarian initiative wins out over those. So that's a really powerful doubling housekeeping opt-outs. Mm-hmm. On the sort of more revenue driver side, depending on size of hotel, wide variance there. But if you're looking at a hotel, we've got a few that are in that kind of 100 to 250 rooms range. Mm-hmm. And they're adding in, you know, an additional $5 per night stay. We have a calculator to do that. But you're looking at, you can easily be adding well over $100,000 in additional revenue per year. Some larger properties that are, you know, in that 500 are adding hundreds of thousands and some even over millions of dollars in additional revenue. That's pure profit, but they still get the benefit of that marketability around their sustainability goals. It's crazy how powerful a simple concept like that can be. I think it speaks to that, the tangibility and that everyone gets it, where more and more people care about the environment and sustainability of all audiences. That's another interesting data point going back to the early days of digital marketing, to where you would think brands that maybe didn't have an audience that care, they might be very anti, call it climate change, but they love nature. So it still resonates. I'll leave it with that. But it is really interesting to see how adding this really, really special feel good thing at point of purchase helps move the deal. And that's at like 17% conversion rate lift. We've seen as high as 26%.
Yeah. Wow. So you mentioned tree planting, you mentioned ocean plastic cleanups. Are there any other types of initiatives that you guys do? And, you know, what are people mostly gravitating towards right now?
Yeah, we just launched two really cool new ones. So one is food security in the U.S., where we're partnering with an organization called FarmLink, where we go in and actually rescue surplus produce from farms. Without getting too far into the weeds, when a farm has too much, if a grocery store cancels an order, they're sort of left holding the bag as produce, or if they have a good year in crop and they can't sell it all, it's cheaper for them to, rather than store it or ship it, it's cheaper for them to just destroy it. So we go in and rescue that fresh produce and actually deliver it to food banks.
Mm-hmm.
The metric there is a pound of food rescued in the U.S. from U.S. farmers, which helps support them. And then it goes to food banks. So the sort of secondary impact metric there is meals delivered to people. So that's really cool. And a little bit more on the humanitarian side. And then the other one is clean drinking water with an organization called Water's Life, where we're going in and identifying communities specifically in Mexico and Kenya, where the sort of the geographical, those are areas that not everyone has access to clean water. We're going in and setting up full filtration systems with solar and pumps and everything to provide them clean drinking water. For those, it could be local communities, schools, orphanages, sort of a whole slew of different people and communities that need access to clean water. And so the metric there is essentially for like $1, you're providing clean drinking water to a person in need for a year. So those are really exciting. That's our first. We've been in this environmental space because of that tangibility of the one-to-one of one tree planted, 1 pound of plastic pulled, but now it's sort of more on that one meal delivered or one person having clean drinking water for a year. So wide range there. The goal is to open up a lot more project types. Like our goal is to do stuff around education and animals and different things like animal preservation, things like that. Still figuring out the exact one-to-one metrics there. It's tough because we want to make sure that there's that key metric that's verifiable at the ground level. But yeah, some really exciting new projects we've got going.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Well, being that the name of the show is Socially Awkward, you know, we have to talk about an awkward moment. Usually it's an awkward travel moment, but, you know, I'll leave it up to you. Has there ever been like an awkward partnership, an awkward, even a personal travel moment that was awkward for you?
Yeah. I'll use a personal travel one to just stay on theme here. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly awkward as it is embarrassing, but my co-founder, and this is actually my college roommate, and right after college, we got our degrees in finance, and we were about to go into the investment banking world, kind of sell our souls and go into finance and do our whole thing. Instead, we decided to start our own business, and before we were going to go into investment banking in that world, we're like, we have one chance to sort of do a fun trip, and we had wanted to go to Thailand. So we booked our trips to Thailand with like 4 days notice, and we were broke college too, we had nothing, right? And so we booked the cheapest flight, and it was through like Qatar Air. We flew the wrong way around the world.
Getting me back correct.
Yeah, not realizing it. And like halfway through the trip, when we were booking our flight home, we're like, why did it take so long to get here? And why is it going to be so fast going back? And so, yeah, just a little awkward, a little embarrassing of just not our brightest moment. We're like, that's why it took 40 hours to get here. Oh, way too much travel. And so that was not our brightest moment. A little awkward. But each other realized it, but that's a good self-deprecating story.
Right, right. Well, hopefully you saved some money at least.
We did. It was way cheaper, especially that. We probably couldn't have done it at normal times, but we found this great flight. We're like, we have to book it, and didn't even think about looking at the map.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a good one. That's one of the top ones I've gotten so far. I like that one. Cool. Yeah, we got just a couple minutes left. Let's leave the audience with a little bit about EcoDrive, what you're doing, and how they can, if a hotel wanted to find out more that's listening to this show, how could they find you?
Yeah. So our website is ecodrive.community, not .com. A little funky there, but we do pride ourselves in sort of making this partnership and community around us. And they could email me directly. It's blake@ecodrive.community, but feel free to reach out. Everything's tracked and managed through a dashboard and platform. So it's really easy to sign up, and there's really no commitment. We want to work with partners that are, you know, looking to do something cool and engaging and make a difference in the world. Then actually I just had the thought, but we'll do a little special offer. We've got a content team. So oftentimes for hotels specifically, we'll send someone to the site and do some cool user generated content around that to help with marketing and things like that. So we'll just throw that special exclusive offer out there for you. But yeah, EcoDrive, if they wanted to just sign up, we make it real easy. It's a 5 to 10 minute sign up for the portal, and they pick their project, and then they can pick their application of whether they're doing per every night stay, per housekeeping opt out. So real simple, but we also have a great, great support team of customer success that helps with the marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic, man. Well, yeah, this has been a great conversation. I've learned a lot about sustainability. I didn't, never really thought of all these different things, you know, being partnered with hotels. Like I said, it's usually just the towels and, you know, when you're done, leave them in the tub or, you know, that kind of thing. But this is really cool. I think this is some great information for the audience. So thank you for sharing, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All about the guest experience, right? But Calvin, thank you so much for having me on. This was incredible.
Of course, man. Of course. So yeah, we'll leave it there. Make sure to go find Blake at ecodrive.community. I'm sure he's on LinkedIn as well. We can find him there. We'll have some links in the show notes for you. But it's all about sustainability and authenticity. And we might have to have you back on another show to talk about that, because we can talk about that for a full podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining, and we'll see you guys on the next one.